Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Alrighty, here we go. Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Elijah Roberts going to join us. A little prospect profile coming up 20 minutes from now. Had a nice last 2 years at SMU, turning around that program with the Mustangs. So Jed York spoke to the media the other day. All the NFL personnel are speaking to the media with the owners meeting. And Jed York said that we're basically choosing to give Brock Purdy a big deal over signing other free agents and having to then also let other guys go as well. Here was the owner of the 49ers.
When you're in a world where everybody is watching the NFL the first week of free agency, or at least the first 3 days of free agency, it's a frenzy, right? Like, you see a huge spike in social following and things like that because it's something to get engaged in. And when you're not overly active in that space, it gets easy to say, you don't want to win. And you don't just have to do things the first 3 days in free agency. I don't know that as we looked at the board, that there was somebody that we felt made that type of an impact more so than making the decision to try to go pay Brock. And again, like, you can't pay somebody quarterback money and have all of the other talent around the way we have. Now you have to start fulfilling that, or filling that piece with the draft.
Can I tell you what's odd about this? If you just parachuted into your car right now and you just heard that audio, you would think the deal's already done for Brock Purdy. They still don't have the deal done. Now, they are setting the stage to get the deal done by not only the way that they're talking about it, but the players that they moved on to open up enough cap space where they're going to allocate a number that starts with a 5 to go hand out per year to Brock Purdy. Because at the absolute low end, it's going to be $51 million a year. Here are the quarterbacks per year who at least make $50 million a season. Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, Jared Goff, Tua Tagovailoa, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott. The names that make me think that Brock Purdy is going to eclipse $50 million. Trevor Lawrence and Jordan Love. Those are the first two. And Jordan Love makes 55 a year, and Trevor Lawrence makes 55 a year. Brock Purdy has had more success in the NFL than both Jordan Love and Trevor Lawrence. Now, it doesn't mean that you have a valid argument, and you don't have a valid argument by saying, Brock Purdy is a system quarterback. Now, as Joe Montana told us at the Super Bowl, there's a lot of quarterbacks who are paid a lot more than Brock Purdy who have accomplished a lot less. So it doesn't really matter what your view is. Newsflash, all great quarterbacks or all quarterbacks need great players around them to win games. This is a team sport. Now, I do think there's still a fair argument to say what Brock has done so far is significant. Brock Purdy deserves to be the guy in San Francisco, but Let's say Christian McCaffrey doesn't get back to good health. You no longer have Deebo Samuel. What's going to happen with Brandon Ayuk now? What are we going to get from George Kittle? An offensive line now that's getting older in San Francisco. You lose some players on the defensive side of the ball. It's one thing to give the money to Brock Purdy. But when you have to trim the fat of the rest of the roster and get rid of other players that you had a lot of success with, is Brock Purdy then going to be able to take his game to that next level that reflects not just getting the money of a franchise quarterback, but then doing the responsibilities and the way that we envision a franchise quarterback? That's a great unknown. That's something I can't sit here and tell you that Brock Purdy is absolutely a franchise quarterback. Now, do I like what Brock Purdy's accomplished in this league? Yes. So far, yes. But he's good. Can he be very good? He's good. Can he not only be very good, can he be great? Because when we enter this season, I don't think Brock Purdy right now is viewed as a top 10 quarterback in this league. He's going to be paid like one, though, because they will never really get the deal done. He better, when we do top 10 lists this time next year, he better be in the top 10. Because if he's not, well, then you didn't live up to your end of the bargain. So Samter has compiled the list. If we could fire up a little NFL music right here. And Elijah Roberts is going to join us. Former SMU defensive end, little prospect profile coming up in 15 minutes from now. Samter, you give me the quarterback. I'll tell you how much they're making a year. And then I'll tell you if they're worth it or not. So give me the quarterback.
All right, let's start with the number one seed out of the NFC last year, the Detroit Lions, Jared Goff.
He makes $53 million a year. Jared Goff has done a lot of good things in Detroit. But at the end with the Rams, what happened? Didn't play well in that Super Bowl. Sean McVay said we needed another signal call. They brought in Matthew Stafford. They won a Super Bowl. And then he goes to Detroit. He's done a lot of good. But this was supposed to be the year. This was supposed to be the year where the Lions were going to go to the Super Bowl. They control their own destiny. The road to the Super Bowl traveled through Ford Field. And coming off a bye, up against the Commanders, Jared Goff threw not one, not two, but three interceptions. Jared Goff is a very good quarterback, but I still don't feel like Jared Goff's going to win a Super Bowl in this league. And that's what he's paid to do right now in Detroit. So for $53 million, where the standard is in Detroit, yeah, I understand Detroit could have a lot worse. But I don't think Jared Goff is worth $53 million a year, I know.
You mentioned him before, Jordan Love.
Yes, I would like to see Jordan Love with a number one wide receiver. I still think that Jordan Love has to accomplish a lot more in this league to show that he's actually worth it. But considering the circumstances, and also you got to remember the situation he took over for Aaron Rodgers. And I think Jordan Love so far has done a good job. And I do think there's a lot of potential there with Jordan Love. But just like how I feel like with Lamar Jackson, who is so much more of an accomplished quarterback, right? I am not comparing him to Lamar Jackson. But for years, I said, if the Ravens want to go win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson, they have to go get him a bona fide number one wide receiver. I'm still waiting for the Packers to do that with Jordan Love. But so far, I do think that Jordan Love, where his stock is right now, is going to be worth the money.
All right, let's move over to the AFC East. Tua Tagovailoa, is he worth what he's getting paid?
I think Tua this year, when he got hurt and how bad the Dolphins were, he showed that he is a lot more important to that team than I thought he was before the season. With that being said, Tua is injury prone. Tua does not have the strongest arm. Tua has not won a playoff game. And he's a $53 million a year quarterback. And I think you could argue if Tua is a top 10 quarterback in this league. I think the earliest you go with Tua is 8. I'm not saying he's 8. But I do think that you could make the case that he is closer to a top 15 quarterback in this league and the 15th best quarterback in this league than he is to a top 10 quarterback in this league. So I do not think Tua is worth $53 million a year.
All right, now, after his amazing rookie year, C.J. Stroud seemed to either plateau, maybe even take a step back. He's still in his rookie deal, of course, so it's hard to say he's not worth that. But do you think he's going to be worth getting max kind of money?
Absolutely. I know he did not have a great season this past year. They lost Stephon Diggs to injury. Tank Dell also got hurt. The offensive line was an unmitigated disaster. The Texans were a dumpster fire before C.J. Stroud got there. They made the playoffs the last 2 years, and then won playoff games the last two seasons. C.J. Stroud is worth the money, and he will eventually get a fat, and I mean a fat, contract.
Now, Justin Herbert showed a lot of talent, but couldn't actually put it all together, it seemed like, until last year. Do you think he's worth what he's getting paid?
You know, Justin Herbert is the eighth highest paid quarterback in football. So, like, if I just said $52 million a year, is he worth it? You know, I got to be a debate. But when you put it into context that there are seven quarterbacks in front of him that make more money, I'm still a believer in Justin Herbert. Now, he was brutal. He was terrible. He was god-awful in the playoffs last year. But I didn't think that Chargers team was a playoff team before the start of the season. I thought the Chargers were going to be pretty damn bad. So there's no more excuses for Justin Herbert. Him and Harbaugh need to work. And I do think they will eventually work. And I do believe that Justin Herbert is worth the money.
All right, we stay in the AFC West with another rookie coming off another big year, Bo Nix.
I think he's already worth the first round pick that they used on him. And I thought it was way too early with him at 12. But if it wasn't for Jaden Daniels, he would have won Offensive Rookie of the Year, and he was in the playoffs in year one. And man, that guy, I like Bo Nix at Oregon. I did not like him at Auburn. He has a bazooka for an arm. So yeah, I do think the way I'll answer it was Bo Nix worth already the 12th overall pick in the draft? Yes, he was.
How about the reigning Super Bowl MVP, Jalen Hurts?
He's underpaid. $51 million a year. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nine quarterbacks in the NFL make more money than Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has gone toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes twice and beat him once. Outplayed him both times. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes, right? We're talking about a Super Bowl MVP in Jalen Hurts. He is absolutely positively worth it.
How about our favorite quarterback with the greatest owner in all of football, Dak Prescott?
$60 million a year. He makes the most money per year out of any quarterback in the NFL. He is not worth it. I think you could argue at times if he's a top 10 quarterback. I do think he'll enter next season on most of those lists in the top 10 conversation. But Dak Prescott, with the injuries and his inability to win big playoff games, you're telling me he's making, like, if he was making $50 million a year, $10 million less, I'd say, you know what, he's worth it. All right, a top 10 salary in the NFL. But when you are number one and you make $5 more million a year than Joe Burrow and $5 more million a year than Josh Allen, you're not worth the money. Dak Prescott, not worth it.
Only quarterback in NFL who makes more than Stu and I. It's crazy. How about Baker Mayfield with the Buccaneers?
He's underpaid. Baker Mayfield, $33.3 million a year. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, because Sam Darnold slightly beats him out. He's the 18th highest paid quarterback in the NFL per year. Baker Mayfield's a top 10 quarterback in the league. So if he's the 18th highest paid quarterback per year in the average annual salary, and he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL with what he's done the last 2 years, just seamlessly replacing Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Touchdown, Tampa Bay! Touchdown, Buccaneers! Fire the cannons! Fire the cannons! Fire the cannons! Absolutely, Baker Mayfield is worth it as a quarterback.
All right, we were just talking about him and what the 49ers are likely to give Brock Purdy. Is Brock Purdy going to be worth a deal that gives him more than $50 million a year?
What do you think the actual number is going to be for Brock Purdy?
He's going to get more than Jordan Love. I'm going to say $54
million. Well, more, that would be Jordan Love's 55 a year.
Oh, so then 56. I thought he was 51. 56 then.
So that would make him the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL per year.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Stu, what do you think the number is here for Brock Purdy?
My original thought was 54 as well.
Okay.
I'll stick with 54. I think slightly under Jordan.
Yeah, I don't think he's worth it. I don't. And I think when you're taking away some pieces around him, you're going to see some inconsistent play from Brock Purdy. So from Mr. Irrelevant to $54, $55 million a year, maybe even $56 million a year, it's a heck of a story. Good for him. But do I think he's worth it? Do I think the Niners are going to win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy anytime soon? No, I do not.
It's kind of like Cam Ward going from Incarnate Word to number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant to...
You know what? If I'm a draft pick in this draft class or the recent draft classes, I'm like, oh, let me go back to the days of Sam Bradford when you get that fat contract right out of the gate. Oh, a lot of those picks probably. That's like the one time where money hasn't aged well, where it's now less advantageous to be the number one overall pick than it would have been 10 years ago. Usually in the sports world, it's just money, money, money just goes up and up and up and up. That's a rare instance where it doesn't.
Well, how about if we stay in that same division as Brock Purdy, we'll go Kyler Murray, former number one overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner.
And he makes $46.1 million a year. There was questions before the injury if he could be great. Now there's questions if he could be good. I don't think he's worth it. Unfortunately, I hate to say it. And also, some of the lack of effort concerns that you hear with him, with the playbook and, you know, being a leader and things like that, I just don't think he's worth that money.
And last one, he just got his new deal with the Seattle Seahawks. Is Sam Darnold worth what the Hawks gave him over there?
So he's the 17th highest paid quarterback in the NFL? Did I ever think Sam Darnold was going to be making $33.5 million a year this year when we started the season a year ago? No, I didn't. Now, they basically just guaranteed him $50 million. So it's really a one-year $50 million year if they wanted it to be, you know, because you get out of it and you only owe him $50 million, which for a quarterback, that's not the end of the world. I think it's a risk worth taking for the Seahawks, where it doesn't, like, excite me as much because you moved off of Geno Smith. I thought they would have got someone better. But for $33.5 million a year, if you see the duration of the contract, for a placeholder, and that's what I think Sam Darnold is. I think he's a placeholder until they find someone better, and he's just a younger placeholder than Geno Smith. I begrudgingly would say that Sam Darnold's worth it in this front, just based what the salary is. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll do a little prospect profile next. Elijah Roberts, formerly of Miami and also SMU. He's going to join us as we get to learn a little bit more about him before the 2025 NFL Draft.
The Combine is over and the 2025 NFL Draft is almost upon us.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams. The Carolina Panthers select Bryce Young. The Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence.
The Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow.
Let's find out whose stock is falling and whose stock is rising.
Jackpot, baby!
And now it's time for the Zach Gelb Show to give you an inside look at some of the biggest draft prospects in this edition of Prospect Profile.
Today we will highlight Elijah Roberts. Just wrapped up a really good career at SMU. Had 17 sacks with the Mustangs in the last two seasons. Before SMU, he was at Miami. And he's kind enough to join us right now. We are 23 days away from the NFL draft getting underway in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And Elijah Roberts is here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Elijah, appreciate you doing this. How you been?
I've been good, man. Appreciate you guys having me, for sure.
So what has this process been like for you? You're getting closer and closer, a few weeks away from the NFL draft, right? You went through the combine. You've had some workouts. Just with it getting closer and closer, just what are you feeling right now?
Man, you know, just been feeling a little bit of everything in between nervousness, anxious, excited, ready. You know, you just kind of feel a little bit of everything. But, I mean, the most probably the biggest feeling I am feeling is just, you know, blessed, kind of just happy, kind of just ready for it, you know?
Yeah, and, like, you have the tape, right? We know what you did the last 2 years at SMU. Sometimes I find the draft process to be insufferable because someone could have really good tape and it's like, oh, he doesn't interview well, or, oh, he didn't do this well at his pro day or his combine, and you get away from the tape, which I don't like. But for people that haven't watched you play, when they turn on the tape, what do you hope they see from Elijah Roberts?
Man, hope they see a really good football player, you know, like a guy who brings a lot of versatility, a smart player, don't really mess up my assignment a lot, you know, bring a lot of physicality to my game. And I just do a lot of different things well at different positions. So I just want people to see kind of that, you know, like I'm a football guy, because I am, you know, I really do love football. So I kind of want people to just see that and kind of like pop out.
the last 2 years, so you started out your college journey at Miami. You were there for 3 years. Then you transferred over to SMU. We saw the production just increase. Like I said, 17 sacks the last two seasons. When you look back at what you were able to accomplish and prove at SMU, how do you kind of put it into words what that all meant to you?
Man, I feel like it meant everything to me, you know, not only to me, but to the program, you know, like going to SMU these past 2 years, you know, me and all the other guys who transferred and the guys who were there who decided to stay under a new staff, you know, we're just able to take SMU to new heights, new, you know, just new levels, you know. So just being able to be a part of that, you know, being able to be a part of the first ever college football 12-team playoff, being able to win our conference our first year there, and then being able to play for our conference championship in our second year in a new conference, which is, you know, the Power Four conference that everybody kind of, you know, didn't really know what to expect from SMU, and then just being able to go out there, go undefeated in the conference, make it to a conference championship, make it to the playoffs, you know, all that stuff was just really, really fun to be a part of.
And you know how this works, Elijah Roberts, and it's so commonplace now where you pick a college and then you transfer and you see production, more production in the place that you transferred to. But when people have asked you, like, how do you explain the first 3 years at Miami and maybe why it didn't work the way that you thought it was going to, what do you kind of say to them?
Yeah, I just say, you know, it just, you know, just kind of wasn't the, you know, like, perfect situation for me. You know, like, first year, there were a lot of guys there, played behind a couple draft picks, you know, a couple first-rounders, you know, so kind of understood it. And then, you know, every other year after that, you know, it was either a new coach, just kind of getting into new systems every year. I mean, I wouldn't say that held me back. It was just more of, you know, kind of just getting lost in the depth chart, lost in the roster.
And why was SMU the right fit for you, just wondering?
Man, SMU just gave me a chance to, you know, just be on the field. All I really wanted to do was just be on the field as much as possible, because I honestly felt like the best way for me to grow was just getting game reps, you know, live reps, being able to mess up a few times so I can correct it, being able to just, you know, be counted on, being a guy who kind of who had to make a play, who needed to make that play for the team. And I felt like that pressure, I wouldn't say pressure, but that kind of responsibility of me as a player kind of just brought out the best in me.
Right, you were highly touted. There's a reason why a player like yourself winds up at a school like Miami. But when you felt like you had to leave and that you went to SMU, were you always confident that you could still be the player that we saw the last two seasons, which was a very successful one?
Yes, sir, for sure. You know, going into every season, even at Miami, you know, I always felt like this could be the year. This could be the year that, you know, I kind of break. I kind of, you know, just pop out. I just felt like, you know, every offseason I put in a lot of work. So I was just really ready. It was just more going to SMU. I was just more ready than I ever felt, you know, just being able to, especially after that first spring there, you know, after knowing, okay, like I'm the guy, I'm going to be starting here, you know, like role has definitely increased a ton from when I was at Miami. So just being able to just know going into the season, like, man, like I'm ready for this, you know? So that was probably the biggest thing for sure.
And obviously, right, Rhett Lashley was at Miami, and then he finds his way to SMU, and he becomes their head football coach. He's been there for the last few seasons. What kind of coach is he, and what has he kind of done for your career?
Man, Coach Rhett, he's a great coach. He's honestly a player's coach. You know, like a lot of coaches say they are, but he honestly really is. You know, he really, like, honestly takes the criticism of the team or team captains, I would say. You know, he really pays attention to what we have to say and what we have to offer. So just him being able to listen to us, and then also being able to, you know, just kind of like go with the flow of the season. You know, season's long. It's a long season that we played last year for sure. Going into the playoffs, conference championship, we played a few extra games. So he was honestly, you know, he took care of us off the field, and then we took care of him honestly off the field as well. So having a mature team that we had, and then having a great coach like Coach Rhett, I mean, SMU is going to be in a good spot for a long time.
Yeah, and that was a crazy conference championship game that you were in. If you guys didn't make that comeback, I was kind of worried they were going to leave you out of the college football playoff.
Yes.
When you found out that you guys got in, was it just like a sigh of relief, or were you guys worried that they weren't going to call your name?
Man, it was definitely like it was definitely a little bit of both. You know, everybody was kind of staying up, just trying to see where we're going to be placed, or if we're, you know, going to be placed at all. So, I mean, it was definitely a little bit of both, definitely a little sigh of relief, and then kind of, you know, still kind of mad about not being able to just know we're going to be in just from winning the conference championship. So that was kind of, it was kind of a lot of feelings going into it.
Talking to Elijah Roberts right now, getting set for the NFL draft. Do you follow, like, these mock drafts? Like, there's so much where you're in the conversation. One day people could say your stock's rising. The next day people could say your stock's falling. I know it changes so much, But is it just human nature to just check out where people are projecting you to go?
No, sir. I mean, me personally, no. I mean, I try not to, you know, even like open social media because you might get tagged in something that you don't want to see. So you just kind of try to not listen to it. I mean, I know a lot of guys who are in the league and they always tell me, you know, like, don't pay attention to it because you see something here and then you end up getting drafted here. You can get drafted to a team you probably never, you know, expected. So you kind of just try to stay away from all that stuff. You know, I know I have probably have family members or friends and stuff like that who look at it though, for sure.
So, you know, when you look at the type of football fan you were, Elijah Roberts, growing up, what type of football fan were you? Like, who was your team?
Man, I was just a huge, like, football guy. I mean, my pops, he's the biggest Cowboy fan in the world. I mean, he's always been a Cowboy fan. So, I mean, we did used to watch a lot of Cowboys games growing up. But definitely, I mean, as I got older, I for sure just watched a lot of football, whether that was college, NFL, whatever the case may be.
Who were some of the edge rushers? Who were some of the football players that you grew up really enjoy watching?
Man, well, like I said, I used to watch the Cowboys a lot. So definitely like a DeMarcus Ware growing up. And then I used to like to watch a lot of offense when I was younger, for sure. So, I mean, a lot of guys, like a lot of good running backs, for sure. But as I got older, it was definitely more just, you know, watching edge rushers. So now, for sure, like a DeMarcus Lawrence, a guy like Cam Jordan, a guy like Chris Jones, or, you know, just guys who know how to play the position really, really well in all phases of the game.
How do you look back at the combine experience, Elijah?
Man, it was a great experience. It was honestly, like, really, really good. It was something that, you know, you kind of only want to do once. It was very long. It was a very long week, you know, with all the medical stuff and all that stuff. But it was honestly really good. Like, you know, being a kid playing football your whole life and being able to honestly be at the combine, see the NFL, like, logo everywhere. It's on your clothes. It's on your chest. It was so good. It was really good.
Yeah, it's got to kind of be a surreal experience because you grow up having this dream. You go to college. You have a five-year career at college. And it's like, all right, just get through these 3 weeks, and then boom, you don't know where you're going to go. You don't know when you're going to go, but you know you're going to be in the NFL coming up at the end of the month. It's got to be pretty neat, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really good. You know, you kind of you get excited for it, but then you just realize, man, after I get drafted, you know, like it's back to kind of being a college freshman, you know? So you kind of have to get back in that mode of just kind of have to work your way up, work your way on a 53-man roster, work your way up to kind of start and plan whatever the role the team has for you. So it's kind of, you know, it's bittersweet. I mean, it's not like a negative to it at all. You definitely are, you know, excited for it, but you just got to know once next month comes, it's time to work, you know, for sure.
Where are you visiting? I know you have these top 30 visits coming up. Have you any scheduled so far?
Yes, sir. Next week I'll be taking 2 30 visits, one to the Steelers and one to the Eagles.
Nah, that'd be pretty cool if you landed Philadelphia. They need another pass. I know they have a lot of good pass rushers, but they just lost Brandon Graham. That's got to be a pretty unique opportunity, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, you saw what they did in the Super Bowl, man. What, like 7 sacks without blitzing? I mean, that'll be great to go in that room and learn from those guys. They haven't won it on the biggest stage, so being able to go there will be honestly really, really good.
And this is the neat part, right? I know you got to be professional when you walk into a locker room, but let's say if it was Pittsburgh. You know, they got TJ Watt, right? That's either the best or second best pass rusher in the NFL, either TJ Watt or Myles Garrett. Could you imagine being able to learn and get your NFL journey started with TJ Watt in the same locker room as you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, being able to play with a guy like that and just learn from him, I mean, man, like, it'll be crazy. You know, like, you'll kind of look at him like, you know, like, is this even real? Because you're watching a guy who you watched on TV, you know, who kind of who's really good at what he does. But, I mean, it'll honestly be a blessing because you'll be able to learn what he learns or learn what he knows, I would say. And then just being able to kind of add that to your game, I mean, it'll be hard to kind of mimic what he does. He's a different kind of player, but for sure.
So let's say I'm an NFL general manager and I say, Elijah Roberts, I'm on the fence of drafting you. Well, why should I pick you? Why should I use a draft pick on you? What would your answer be to me?
Man, I'm a great dude on and off the field. Like I said earlier, I mean, I'm a football guy, you know, like I love ball. I love to kind of just win. I love to see other teammates succeed. And then just as a player, I mean, I'm a very versatile guy, very physical guy. I could do it inside, outside. I mean, I played everywhere across the D-line in my past 5 years in college. So, I mean, anything you want in a player, I mean, I'm not going to bring any trouble to your locker room. I've been in leadership roles plenty of times before in my football career. So being able to come in and kind of learn and then hopefully one day just be a leader myself.
But what do you do for fun outside of football? What are some hobbies that you have?
Man, after this, I'll probably get on a game for a little bit and then just go work out again later. I mean, there's not really much to do right now. But, yeah, I'm kind of more of a homebody. And then during the off season, I really just get with family and we kind of just take trips.
All right, now we get to the serious questions. You have a cheat meal. What are you eating?
Cheat meal? Well, my pops is a chef, so if I have a cheat meal, I'm definitely going to him and I'm telling him to cook something good. I like food, so I mean, honestly, anything. If it's a cheat meal, anything fried, like some catfish or something like that, for sure.
But what's the best thing that your dad cooks up?
Oh man, anything. He's been cooking for over 20 years now. Well, his whole life, so maybe longer than that. But
now this is a big question we have on the show.
Yes, sir.
You have chicken wings. You go ranch or you go blue cheese?
Oh, ranch for sure.
Oh my God. No, you gotta go blue cheese. You gotta go blue cheese. I gotta take you off my draft board now. I can't have you drafted with ranch. Yeah.
Oh, man. It's crazy because I used to be a huge blue cheese guy, but then when I got my girlfriend a few years ago, she loves ranch, and then it kind of just made me kind of gravitate towards ranch. But I used to be a blue cheese guy, but I'm definitely a ranch guy now.
All right, we'll blame it on the girlfriend. I'll give you a pass on that one. You got to make sure that the girlfriend is happy. Last thing I'll ask you, I know that you weren't there at Miami when Cam Ward was there. I don't know if you still got friends on the team that you still talk to. I know you didn't go up against him this year, but Cam Ward, right, in the ACC, you're obviously familiar with him. What are the things that you hear about Cam Ward and what he could maybe be as an NFL quarterback?
Man, just hearing from guys who are on the team, you know, who I knew, I just heard that he's a dog. Like, he honestly came in and he kind of helped, you know, like, change the culture of the Miami locker room. You know, he's a dog. He's an alpha male. And as a quarterback, I mean, honestly, if you got a quarterback who's an alpha, who's a vocal leader and leads by example, and then you got to see how he plays on the field. I mean, honestly, I feel like any GM, any locker room would be great to have him for sure.
Is there one quarterback that you kind of have jotted down that you're like, okay, I get to the NFL, I'm playing this guy, I got to find a way to sack him?
Man, who's ever first on the schedule, whoever we play first, whatever team I'm on, honestly, I'm not really – I mean, I love, honestly, watching good quarterback play, but it's not like a specific guy. Who's ever first on that schedule for whatever team gives me, for sure.
Absolutely love it. Well, good luck to you and also your family. We appreciate you jumping on board for a few minutes today, Elijah. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for having me, man.
You got it. Good luck. All right, there he is, Elijah Roberts from SMU, getting set to hear his name called in the NFL draft coming up in 3 weeks. It is a Zach Gelb show on the Infinity Sports Network. We got one more segment to play, and we will get to the biggest non-Aaron Rodgers storyline remaining in this offseason. We'll go around the room and give you our answers on that one. But update time first, here's Zach. Did any of you guys get got today? Because it's April Fool's Day. Stu, did you see anything on social media that got you?
Honestly, no.
No? You're savvy? Samter, did you get got today at all?
For a second, I got mini got.
From what?
I got mini got from Tiger freaking Woods. Woods.
No, so he had the Achilles injury. So he ruptured his Achilles, and Tiger Woods tweets out today. I just had this up. That's what I was looking at, which made me ask the question. I did not get got in it. But he said, I can't believe I'm saying this, but a few weeks after rupturing my left Achilles, the sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber, plus the explosive lifts, my doctors and trainers have me ready to play at the Masters next week. Can't wait. See y'all on the course. 8.9 million views. And then Tiger said, with another 4.4 million views, P.S. April Fools, my Achilles is still a mess. Let me tell you, it's kind of funny but sad for Tiger. Because, like, there's no way the old Tiger would joke about this. The new Tiger's like, all right, my career, most impactful golfer ever, most entertaining golfer ever. I'm probably never going to win anything of significance again. And I had another unfortunate situation where he ruptured his Achilles, right? At this point, how much more can you watch Tiger recently. He could look like vintage Tiger for 3 or 4 holes, but he struggles to get through a round, let alone 4 days at a tournament. And now you have another injury. But I wonder if Tiger came up with this at his own, on his own, or if someone else is in his ear and is like, hey, you know, let's put this out there. It'd be kind of funny. First comment. You would still make the cut, Tiger. So, yes. You actually thought that was that he went through some TO, like voodoo magic, and he was going to be able to get there on the course coming up next week?
I didn't have enough time to really process it. I saw that, and then I saw his April Fools immediately after. So I saw it, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh, wait, never mind. There was one that really, really, really got me.
Mm-hmm.
A really bad got me moment. And I actually sent this in the Slack group, and I go, let's go Devils. Because the Sun Devils, the Arizona State Sun Devils, tease a new era, a maroon field, kind of like the blue turf at Boise.
Oh, you thought it was real?
I thought it was real.
It's at least passable.
It looks so cool, the maroon field.
So you think they should do it?
I totally do. So what happened was now it's an April Fool's thing. Everyone in the Valley, including all the local radio stations, are like, we need to do this. This looks amazing.
Do you remember? I think this is the greatest April Fool's prank ever. Do you remember Kyle Kendrick when they told him that he was getting traded to Japan for Kobayashi?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, that was great.
And he did the whole press conference. He's like, I can't believe I'm getting traded to Japan. And then they were like, dude, we're just messing with you. Were you guys big pranksters as kids? Stu, I could see you like pranking Gallo or something. Were you not a big prankster?
Oh, yeah. I would, yeah.
Okay. Samter, are you a big prankster? You could be a weasel, right?
Weasel, yes. Prankster, no. Halloween, we like to have our fun, but otherwise not really.
So a good friend of mine, this guy's name is Andy. Andy came into our sleepaway camp, right? He was like second in command or something, like hired outside in. So like the new guy like that, you know, and you have so much power, just naturally, like sometimes people won't like you just because it's like, oh, you're coming into our turf and all that stuff. Very nice guy, though. It's like friends with him. So he could be a little boisterous, right? Like big personality. So he took his first off day. And I was a fan of his, but it's like, all right, we got to like show this guy like who's really boss. So we had like a cabin at the camp. We spent the entire day lining up plastic cups and filling them up with water in his entire cabin. Like I'm talking about in the showers, surrounding the toilets. Every square foot of the cabin was filled with water cups. Then he came back and he opened up the door and a few of them fell over. And he had to tiptoe to his bed just to get into bed. And he kept on knocking down some of the cups. And then the next day he woke up and had a bunch of kids just basically take out all the water cups out of the cabin. I saw photos of it. It's a very good prank. But that was probably the best practical joke that I've ever played on somebody. Anyway, it is April Fool's Day. So this is a day where they're like, don't do anything. Don't say anything on the radio because there's a bunch of legalities that we can't get into. Let's hear from Art Rooney the second, though. These were his comments at the owners' meetings on Aaron Rodgers.
Nothing new on the Aaron Rodgers front. You know, we'll see what happens, and you know, hopefully we'll know something soon.
Are you content to wait?
Well, not forever, but a little while longer.
How did you envision it taking this long and playing out the way that it has?
No, didn't envision it taking this long, though.
There have now been some photos and videos of him throwing with DK Metcalf. Do you view it as a good thing? You're trying to read the tea leaves to figure out which way he's leaning? Things like that?
I mean, I would say it was a good sign that he wanted to do that. And, you know, I mean, we keep hearing that, you know, he's headed in our direction. And so that seems to be all signs are positive so far.
You know, sometimes when you say something and then something pops up on your social media feed. So we're just talking April Fool's pranks. There's an account, WLS69. So you can use your imagination. Breaking. Chargers wide receiver Quinton Johnson spotted practicing with new torpedo receiver gloves. The team is hopeful the gloves will help him actually catch a pass or two. And it's these fake, just giant yellow gloves going off the torpedo bats. But anyway, it's a good tweet on April Fool's Day. But you just heard Art Rooney II. How just depressed does he sound talking about and just no enthusiasm whatsoever about Aaron Rodgers? He's like, yeah, but it's trending that way that it's going to get done. Enough is enough. Like, just make the decision. I'll be curious. Do we have a new overnight host first here at the network or does Aaron Rodgers make his decision? What do we find out about first? I'm actually optimistic it's the overnight, the new overnight host compared to if Aaron Rodgers is going to be finally saying, okay, I'm going to accept that I'm going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. Now, before I get ourselves in any trouble, let's get to this. biggest non-Aaron Rodgers storyline the rest of the offseason. For me, it's where is Shedeur Sanders going to go. I think Cam Ward's going to go one. It feels like the sentiment in Cleveland today is that it's not going to be Shedeur Sanders at two, but that's subject to change. I am most fascinated by where Shedeur Sanders is going to go. Right now, I'd pencil him in number three to the New York Giants. I would say Cam Ward one to Tennessee, Travis Hunter two to Cleveland, Shedeur three to the Giants, Abdul Carter, please cross the fingers, four to the New England Patriots, and then five Mason Graham to the Jaguars. That'd be my top five. But if Cleveland says thanks but no thanks, if the Giants say thanks but no thanks, the Raiders then got to take Shedeur at six. I think that would be really, really, really just stupid of the Raiders if Shedeur falls to six and then they don't take him. All righty, Stu. Biggest non-Aaron Rodgers storyline remaining in this offseason. Mine is Shedeur Sanders. Yours is?
Mine is Micah Parsons. Not where will he be. I think we all know he'll be a Cowboy, but how much will he sign for and when will he sign that deal? That's what I'm kind of looking forward to.
And the question is if they get a deal done, because Jerry Jones today basically saying, who the heck is this agent? I don't need to talk to this agent, and he's one of the more successful agents in the NFL. I thought that was very disrespectful, and Micah Parsons in the final year of his contract, Jerry loves to just expand, and delay these contract negotiations and actually getting a deal done. I do think they will get a deal done. I just don't know if they get a deal done this offseason, which then intensifies the drama even more. And we'll see how Micah Parsons does proceed from that. Samter?
Mine is similar to yours. It's more just, what are the Browns going to do at quarterback? Are they going to trade for Kirk Cousins? Are they going to stick with Kenny Pickett? Are they going to draft Shedeur? Are they going to even try to move up to get Cam? Who knows? There's so many different questions. Are they going to draft a quarterback in the second, third, fourth round? To me, what the Browns do at quarterback, it answers so many questions. It answers the Kirk Cousins question. It answers the Shedeur question. It answers the Kenny Pickett question. It answers the Myles Garrett question. It answers a million questions. And the Deshaun Watson question.
Do you have any other questions there?
There's a lot of questions around there. That's why it's so interesting to me.
Is there a Kenny Pickett question?
I think there's always a Kenny Pickett question.
Here's the Kenny Pickett question. He was the only first-round quarterback two years ago.
Chris in California, line one.
I'm just saying, Kenny Pickett was a first-round quarterback for a reason. At some point, we said the same thing about Baker Mayfield and all these other guys. You're like, oh, well, they're a bust. No, you know what? Sometimes you just need a year or two to kind of figure it out. So maybe Kenny Pickett has that time.
Who's starting week one for the Cleveland Browns? Stu, go.
Kirk Cousins.
Samter.
Same.
Yeah, I think so, too. Kirk Cousins. All right, that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Tomorrow, we are off. Stu and I will be traveling to San Antonio. The show will be in San Antonio for the Final Four Thursday and Friday, broadcasting from the Convention Center. If you want to stop by and say hello, please do so. We'll have a bunch of coaches out there in San Antonio, and we're going to hopefully enjoy some barbecue. And Stu is sitting behind me tomorrow on the plane, so if I recline my chair, I apologize in advance, Stuart. Stu, thank you, Sam. Thank you, Ack. Thank you, each and every one of you that are listening, watching us. We thank you as well. Big thanks to Elijah Roberts and also Kevin Hovde for joining us as well. Talk tomorrow, Thursday.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.